Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
As I continue with my sermon on the Olivet Discourse, I'll pick up where I left off discussing the second parable, the days of Noah. A quick review. The Olivet Discourse is a sermon that Jesus preached to his disciples upon the Mount of Olives at the end of his earthly ministry. This discourse by Jesus was preached to put all the disciples of Christ throughout the last two millenniums, the dispensation of grace, on notice that he is coming back and that they need to be ready for his return. He admonishes that believers need to make preparations and be alert for his return, and he cautions that some believers will be careless. Today's sermon picks up with me preaching this message in my pulpit a month ago. I review at first the whole discourse and then zero in on the parable of the days of Noah. Different aspects of Jesus' discourse addresses specific events targeting specific groups. That is why I subtitled this sermon, "The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God."
This is a serious, serious passage right here in Luke 21, part of the Olivet Discourse. And so are these other parables as we get into them. Like Noah and his family entered the ark under their own strength, means their own foot power, those who enter the ark of Christ must be meticulously caught up by Christ into the air. Or must be miraculously caught up by Christ into the air. Excuse me. Once aboard Noah's ark, there was a seven-day respite before it began to torrentially rain. A grace period for at least last-minute repentance by the world, which didn't happen in Noah's day. So what possibly could have happened, the Lord wanted to see, okay, I'm going to put everybody in the ark, close the door, and see if anybody repents. I'll give you 7 years, or 7 days, excuse me, 7 days, will anybody come running and pounding on the ark to let them in? Nobody. Now, what's interesting, Wes, in our Bible study, talks about the instant catastrophe that took place on the earth when those fountains of the deep the waters in the heavens came down to the earth. It was so catastrophic, so turbulent, that the mass of humanity and everything that was living and breathing, except for those things that were in the sea, died almost instantaneously. The gyrations and the convulsion of the earth and the splitting apart of the continents, everything was so turbulent that the mass of humanity at that time died almost instantly. And they still, how many years was it building the ark? About 100 years, right? 100 years. So Noah is preaching 100 years and nobody is listening. This 7 day grace period correlates to some degree to the 7 year tribulation that leads up to the fiery judgment that follows Armageddon. There are those who are converted during this period and are martyred for Christ. Let me tell you, in the tribulation period, we're not going to be singing sweet hymns of faith and coming and going and sitting down and sipping our coffee and having our tea and our donuts. If two or three can gather anywhere under a tree or in an apartment or in a building, that'll be amazing. The church is going to be non-existent. Because let me tell you, this globalist crowd right now is almost outlawing Christianity. Bibles are being systematically removed from libraries. They're setting the stage to make you and I the villain. We're the villain. They also correlate Christians with Trump, and he's a villain, so you're the villain. Look at 2 Peter here. We've read this passage in the past, chapter 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, scoffers, mockers, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. People are living like that. Nothing's going to change. That's what evolution is all about. It helps us fall asleep that the earth has been around for billions of years. And things just continue to move along, small changes in the earth over long periods of time. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Okay, he's talking about the flood right there. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. There's a judgment of fire that will come upon the earth. And perdition of ungodly men. Okay, the destruction of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And conversation there can also mean behavior. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. And I have in parentheses there a renewed earth and heaven, wherein dwelleth righteousness, the kingdom age. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, what? Where did they get that word without spot, and where does that come from, without spot? Where is that drawn from? What kind of lamb was the Jews supposed to bring to the temple for a sacrifice? A spotless lamb. Means didn't have any imperfections in the lamb. It didn't have any birth defects. Or something that compromised it from being a perfect lamb. And so, without spot means the same thing with us. Something that would compromise us. We're to be without spot. It means to be holy, to be righteous, to be obedient to the Lord, blameless. I mean, he's telling you, diligently seek these things. Don't go home and just sit in front of the TV and forget what the preacher said. Don't go home and sip your cocktails and say, oh, I forgot what the preacher said. Be careful, be diligent, that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That goes for me as much as it goes for you. We're going to hold off on the next parable. We'll look at that next week. The third parable, the thief. But now we're going to get into, these parables are warning us, this is different. These parables here that we're looking at, the day of Noah, these things take place suddenly. No warnings. No warnings. That is what the pre-tribulation rapture is all about. No warnings. When Jesus comes back on the earth and plants his feet on the earth, there's going to be plenty of warnings, because you're going to see all the judgments in Revelation being fulfilled on the earth. So you can almost categorically say these events are time-lapsed, and we're approaching the time when the Lord will come to the earth place his feet on the earth. But in this part of the thief, the faithful servant, the wise and foolish virgins in Revelation there, everything happens suddenly. God is trying to get people to enter the chamber of protection from the sudden destruction that will take place on the earth. And Can you imagine, just imagine in your minds, I have a hard time always wrapping my mind around it, but imagine what it was like for those people on the earth who didn't go into the ark and died suddenly. Suddenly. The earth was in turmoil and chaos, and the earth was in convulsions, and possibly volcanic reactions were also taking place, but a lot of it was water. And can you imagine what was going through the minds of those people when they were, you know, giving in marriage, getting married, and it says here they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And all of a sudden, everybody's life turned upside down, and the death of people had to be catastrophic. The continent splitting, catastrophic movement, rapid movement of continents moving across the face of the earth. I've never looked at it until this gentleman in our Bible study pointed that how catastrophic it could have been. I've never really noticed that before. But it's going to be sudden. It's going to be a sudden thing. And those who miss it will mourn and grieve and cry because they didn't make it. And we'll see that in the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. It should be in your notes on the end bottom of page 12 going into page 13 of your notes. Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? That video, that documentary I told you about that says after the tribulation, that talks about, that mocks the pre-tribulation rapture. They are scoffers. They are scoffers. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standeth out of the water and in the water. Okay, just going back, take a look at creation, beginning of the creation. God created the earth. He divided the water. He had water on the earth, and he had water, and under the earth, and he had water above the earth in the sky. I told you about that last week. And so there, verse 6, thereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, talking about the flood of Noah's day right there. Just reiterating that major event that took place. Okay, it happened suddenly. Creation happened suddenly, and the world being destroyed by the flood happened suddenly. Now, you're going to hear people who say, mockers who scoff at the universal flood of Noah's day. They said it was a local flood. It was like India flooded, you know, because of monsoon. No, the whole earth flooded. The whole earth flooded. How do you find fossil seashells on the top of mountain? Okay? How does that happen? The whole earth flooded. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. That's the next judgment to come. That's future. Against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Now, in this particular case, this is a renewed earth. The earth, the Lord is going to, at some point in time, after he plants his feet, what we read here in the Olivet Discourse, where the Lord plants his feet on the Mount of Olives, and it comes to the earth. At some point after that, he will burn the earth with fire. Everything, every structure, every garbage dump, every polluted waters are going to be purified. And there's going to be a renewed earth. And what happens when land goes on fire? What happens? Do you remember, some of you are very young, but do you remember the acid rain scare? Do you remember that in the 80s? They bombarded us with the acid rain scare. Do you remember that? Do you know why you don't hear that anymore? Because of all the wildfires that are going on across the continent, in Colorado and Oregon and California, what does that do? It burns the trees and the leaves, and the ash neutralizes the acidity in the soil that leaches into the lakes from the leaves. The acid rain, there wasn't acid rain. It wasn't stripping the paint off your car. It was in the forests that didn't see wildfires for a long time, and the acidity, what happens? The soil becomes more acidic over time, from the falling of the leaves and the trees absorbing the nutrients, and the soil becomes more acidic and leaches into the lakes. And then when you have a wildfire, what does that do? The ash neutralizes the acidity, and what happens after a wildfire? New growth comes up very quickly. Very quickly. And so that is the whole theory. That was just another boondoggle to pass more legislation to strip your rights from you and to spend trillions of dollars to try to solve the problem. All right, so verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved with the elements, shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, a renewed earth and heavens, a renewed this earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, the kingdom age, when Christ will rule with his saints. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's talking to you, and that's talking to you, and that's talking to me. Is talking to everyone in this room. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. without spot and blameless. So, the third parable, it begins at verse 40 in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken in. Excuse me. If Jesus is coming like a thief, okay? They come in very quietly, right? They come in so you can't see them. You're sleeping. Some people sleep through the night and a thief comes in, steals everything they have and is out the door and that person doesn't even know they got robbed until they wake up, right? A good thief? Or they come into a museum and get around all the security and steal a valuable painting. And they don't know it until the next morning because none of the alarms were triggered.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.